another episode of Hip Hop Social Worker. I'm your host, Christopher Scott. And I just wanted to kind of share my thoughts of, I watched Charlamagne live session. And, I watched some of it, I ain't gonna lie. When the whole hour aired, I went to sleep. It was on too late. It's past my bedtime. I wasn't really feeling that. So let me turn my mic down a little bit. So yeah. So, but I caught some on YouTube. You know, I caught the overview. I caught a few segments, and honestly, I think it's pretty dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know. People think, you know, celebrities do things for financial gain, which I'm sure there was some financial gain. I think Dr. Jess, who did it, has more to gain than Charlamagne does airing out his live therapy. You know, I think he's genuinely doing it for the betterment of the community, you know, to kind of rid the stigma of mental health in the Black community, in the communities of color, and poor communities, you know, things like that. Just in the community in general, you know, because I know therapy can be hard for most people, and to kind of sit there and hear your thoughts, you know, like your insecurities, your discomfort, you know, your fears being played out, you know, like even when you're in therapy, because I've been in therapy a few times, and I actually use my supervision as a little bit like therapy, you know. Even when you're sitting in kind of a candid conversation, you still have that you know, that worry, like, oh shit, well, am I saying too much, or what's, you know, like, what's the person gonna think, or things like that, you know. So him doing that and really just sharing his vulnerability with the world, I think, is gonna have a positive effect, you know, rather than a negative effect. I know he was catching some backlash from some practitioners, you know, and they were thinking that he was stealing the spotlight from actual mental health people, you know, making them about himself and things like that. But I honestly think that, you know, him talking about it, Jay-Z talking about it, Vic Mensa talking about it, all these celebrities talking about therapy and, you know, seeking help and getting help, I think that's only good for, you know, for practitioners, really, you know, to kind of build a platform for themselves, you know. Like, I know, I eventually thought that, you know, when I saw he's writing a book about anxiety, I was like, man, what the fuck? Why is this dude, you know what I'm saying? Like, who is he? But then again, it's like, when a person has that platform, you know, like, it's important for him to share his insecurities as well, because there was a segment on the video where he said, you know, even when he reached the highest he thought he can get, he still felt that kind of anxiety. You know, he still felt these problems, and he would think to himself, you know, why, like, I've reached, you know, like, I've killed every goal that I've had, why do I still have this problem? And to me that's just like, you know, this typical shit. It's like, when you have these goals and you always think there's a dollar amount that makes your problems go away, or there's a social status that makes your problems go away, or there's a fine female, you know, or a fine male, or whoever you're into, you know, there's always that one partner, you know, that makes your problems go away. But, you know, him saying that, well, you know, he thought he reached the highest he could reach, but I'm still stressed out. I'm still worried about shit. I still got to get it together. You know, I feel like that's important, because even in my path of getting where I want to get, you know, I always think that, man, if I get it here, then it'll be cool. But then I always find myself, if I get there, you know, all I got to do is get here, and everything's going to be straight. And that just kind of goes to show that even when you reach these goals, or you think you're at where you might not think you had a problem in your life, you still could have these problems, you know, and you still could have your mental fucking with you, and you still have these, you know, these thoughts of, like, you know, shit, what if I fail, or what if this happens, or what if that happens, you know. And I feel like, you know, it's important for him to say these things, you know what I'm saying, and air it out, because he's so influential. Anything he says is pretty much golden, you know what I'm saying? Like, people just love to hear what he has to say and the stuff that he does. So I feel like, you know, the more he speaks about it, the more it benefits all of us, you know, like, especially mental health practitioners. You know, it's like, shit, if you want to go to a private practice, somebody erasing the stigma and having people sign up, you know what I'm saying, for those sessions, that's all good, you know what I'm saying? But on another note, it's just good to see that, because for so long, we have painted celebrities of, like, having no problems. You know, like, we've only seen, you know, you see videos and you see, you know, shit like TMZ and Entertainment Tonight, you know what I'm saying? They always paint the, like, glamorous life of a celebrity. You know, the eating out, the partying, the socializing, you know, that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of refreshing to know that we all in this kind of fight together. You know, like, we all trying to stay mentally healthy. We all trying to stay, you know, just afloat. You know, some people might have more than others, but if you can walk, if you can talk, if you can breathe, you know what I'm saying, or if you're breathing, you know, if you don't need somebody to feed you food, if you don't need somebody to do anything for you, if you can go out and get it yourself, you should really feel blessed. You know, like, you should really feel blessed. You should never feel that if you're at a moment where you feel, you know, like, a little soft or a little sad or whatever, you should never feel like that's a weakness. You know what I'm saying? Like, a weakness to me is not being able to show those emotions. You know, I feel like a strong person is going to be able to tell a person, hey, this is what's up, and I need you to either help me or I need you to figure out a way that we can, you know what I'm saying, that we can vibe, you know, because yes, feel like he really shattered a lot of stigma, and he's really doing a lot of good work. Now, on a personal side, not personal, but, like, just from my perspective, I think that anybody who was really hating on him and challenging him would say, well, why is he doing this? And, well, why is he doing the mental health stuff? He's not a practitioner. I feel like I get that, because for us practitioners who got these student loans to pay back, you know what I'm saying? I can feel a little bit of that. It's like, shit, I'm out here trying to really do it the right way, and there's fucking celebrities out here getting book deals and doing signings and shit and all that kind of stuff. So I get that too. But you got to do the flip. You know what I'm saying? You got to say, okay, he's doing that. Well, let me do my shit too and see where I can get my, you know, like, where I can get my platform to grow, because I just feel like it's going to grow. You know, like, this field is, I mean, it's pretty new. Well, as far as, like, it being on the open, I mean, we all got mental health stuff. There's stuff that I think about when I was a kid that I went through that, you know, I would never tell anybody. But now it's like, you know, since everybody's, like, when they, you know, when they feel it on their sleeve, it's like, shit, every time I talk to somebody, especially in the social work world, every time I look or turn around to my coworker or something, a session can pop off, you know, just because we know the game and we know it, and we all people who've come from trauma and we're in social work because we're not really scared to, you know, to share our story, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think it's dope. I haven't bought the book yet, but I did ask for it for Christmas, so if I don't get it for Christmas, then I probably will buy it. I just think, you know, I mean, I just think that it's a good look for us practitioners. You know, it's natural to feel salty. You know what I'm saying? That's just kind of human emotions. You see somebody who you think ain't qualified to do something that you've been putting time and work in, and you went to school for, and you wrote hella papers, and you did hella shit, and you know what I'm saying? Like I said, you got to pay back school loans. I get it, but it's like, you know, the more people that can make this thing normalized, I feel like it's better for the whole field, you know, just to keep it honest, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's what I think about that. So let's take a quick break, and I'll be back. So now I'm back. So yeah, I thought about, share what I thought about that Charlamagne special. And yeah, it was cool. It was cool to see that. It was I felt like it was important. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people, you know, you probably won't feel it. You probably think it's a little extra. But that's all good. What I will say is that, you know, we should really take our mental health seriously. You know what I'm saying? Whether you got to know what you need for yourself, you know. I know in this culture, we take friendships, you know, like a lot of people take friendships, you know, seriously. And it's something that should be taken seriously because your friends are probably going to be, you know, your support system. But you got to know which friends are good for you and when it's time to kind of let sleeping dogs lay, you know. So, but now we're going to go to my next topic. When I speak to Charlamagne and creating a platform for, you know, for mental health practitioners to really blow up. Like, you know, Dr. Jess was on VH1. I'm sure her business is going to start booming. And that's cool. You know what I'm saying? School costs a lot of money. So I feel like, you know, that's good. But I feel like, you know, in the social work field, we like to think of ourselves, you know, like I feel like we take pride not getting our just due. You know, like we take pride of taking, you know, of having or being offered these low paying jobs. You know, granted, I have a job right now that the salary's cool, but you know, social work, you might have a job where, you know, you know, the boss makes a lot of money and, you know, the people that work for him necessarily don't. So I kind of want to, you know, preach the gospel of you can get paid too. You know what I'm saying? I just seen that there was a conference at Disney World, a pretty big conference, you know, that CSWE certified. It was called, I know the acronym as APM, you know, and that's at Disney World. I'm sure that conference wasn't cheap, you know, and some people are fortunate enough to, you know, to have their jobs reimbursed them or pay for them, to, you know, to go there. But a lot of social workers, especially ones in school, ones, you know, ones that are just getting in the field, they don't have that luxury, you know, but they still have these conferences. So it's like, you know, like I feel like we preach equity one way, but then in another way, you know, like we show our privilege, you know, like it's like we're fighting against privilege, but then we also show our privilege by having these nice things and doing things like that. So I'm here to say, man, get your money, get paid. You know what I'm saying? I just recently found out there's this lady. Her name was Brené Brown. I believe that's how you say her name. And she is a social worker by definition. You know, she's a PhD. She has her LMSW. And she was on Oprah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and she, like, I feel like she is a catalyst for, like, the white woman that wants to feel woke, and she has, like, all these, you know, feel good sayings, which are great. You know, they do make a lot of sense, but for me, it's like, well, if she could do that and be on TED Talks and be on Oprah and kind of, you know, brand herself as a person that, you know, that's a capitalist, truly, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure she's a good woman, but, you know, she's getting paid, and I feel like, well, shit, we all need to be doing that because, you know, I know there is, you know, like we do this work for the greater good. I'm not losing that message. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that we need to go into like these low paying income neighborhoods and charge $100 an hour for, you know, for therapy or charge for our services. No, you give when you can and you know, just like anything else, you know what I'm saying? Don't overwork yourself. But if, you know, you being a PhD in social work, or you just even have an LCSW, I feel like, you know, you need to really learn how to diversify yourself, you know, like with this podcast I'm doing. I'm not really looking for like huge sponsorships, but I am looking for, you know, to build my platform to go speak to people and to go consult and to do things like that, you know what I'm saying? And to really just kind of be a part of my whole brand of counseling, consulting, and just doing like, you know, public speaking, because I feel like, you know, I went to school and I did all this stuff, so, like, I need to really make it work, you know? So, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like we don't need to be ashamed for doing well, you know what I'm saying? Like, are wanting to do well, you know? Like, there are a few people that, you know, that have, you know, strong social work boundaries. Like, I will never work for this company or that company. But I feel like you shouldn't hold everybody to that standard. You know what I'm saying? If you want us to go to these conferences and you want us to participate and pay our way to get there and things like that, you got to understand that we need to get paid. You know, like, we really need to have an understanding that that's part of it. You know, like, you know, we can't be overworked and then expect to give our all. You know what I'm saying? Like that's like burning the candle on both ends. You feel me? So, and also, there is an inequitable way of the distribution of payment. I know a lot of these contract jobs, I know a lot of them, you know, like, when you open up a home or you open up a nonprofit, a lot of these, you know, contracts don't pay a lot. So you really can't, you know, pay your employees a lot, you know, or you got to charge them a lot of money for their insurance. So what I'm not going to get into it right now. But what, you know, what I want to see is, that, you know, these funds that are being provided to these nonprofits, I want to see them stop being so cheap. You know, like you really want us to, you know, do the work, like, in some of these communities, it's really life threatening work. I mean, I know social workers who has had their lives threatened, who've been in dangerous situations. You know, when you got to go remove kids, that's not easy. People just don't give up their kids, you know, because you come and say you're taking them, or, you know, or even if you want to say, hey, I'm here to help you, ain't nobody really. People don't really like hearing that. Like, there's some people who don't want your help. You know, so I feel like, you know, people got to understand that our lives are in danger, and we do this because we do see a greater good. But at the same time, you know, like, all this training that's required for us to get, you know, like, we want to be treated just like doctors and lawyers and things like that. You know what I'm saying? We have an expertise, and it needs to be compensated. And, you know, that's all I got to say about that. I feel like every social worker should strive to be like Brené Brown. You know what I'm saying? Make your name out here. Make your platform as strong as possible. You know what I'm saying? And that way, you know, if you're your own person, if you really doing your own platform, you ain't got to charge, you know, money forever. You know what I'm saying? You could charge a little bit until you get comfortable. And then, you know, you have a little more access to, you know, go do things out of the kindness of your heart and really do real social work. You know what I'm saying? But as long as these schools is charging us all this money for this education, and these jobs ain't really, you know, kicking in like that, there's going to be some stressed out people. It's going to be a lot of turnover. There's going to be a lot of, you know, workplace toxic workplaces, you know. So this is something to think about. You know, if you're a social worker out here, you know, there's a social worker I follow on Facebook, and he wrote a book. You know, he's a best-selling author. I forgot his name, but he's from Virginia. And he's black. He's a young black man. And he's, you know, there was one time he was advertising his services, and somebody said, you know, you should be doing these services for free. It's your responsibility in the community to do these services for free. And his response was, I have a whole family to feed. So, yeah, I mean, shit, you know, yeah, people got problems and we love to help. But at the same time, we still got bills and we still got responsibilities. So this is something to think about, you know. Don't stop at, you know, you do this out of the kindness of your heart, you know. Make your platform huge. Make it big. Try to be on Oprah, you know. Try to do whatever, you know, because it's out there for you. All right, so it's going to be my final segment. We're really going to talk about coping skills. You know, I know the holidays are stressful. Holidays are so stressful. You got people to buy gifts for. You got family to go see. You might have family you don't want to see. You might have family that don't get along. You might have baby mama drama. Whatever. You might have a lot of shit going on, you know. And I think on my Patreon, I'm going to put a special, you know, podcast up, how to survive the holidays, you know, how to navigate that. But right now we're going to do general coping skills, you know. So basically, coping skills, in my opinion, I mean, you know, or in my like observation, coping skills should not be counterproductive. So if your coping skills to smoke weed, you should understand that, If you're smoking too much weed when you can't get shit done in the day, you might want to find a different coping skill. Or if your coping skill is to get drunk, or to have a drink, but you can't really have a drink without doing too much, you might want to find a different one. Or if it's sex, if it's food, if it's whatever, you know what I'm saying? If it's sleep, you got to make sure that you can, you're supposed to be able to cope, not erase your problem, because life, we always got problems. So the coping skill was really something that helps you cope to get through your day or your hour or your minute, because shit, stress come and you might just need to get it to the next, it might be 10, some stressful shit happened at 10:30. I think I just make it till 2 till I go home, find some coping skills to really, to really not withdraw you from, everybody else, And that can be a coping skill in itself, but when it interferes with your day-to-day life, you got to really figure out, a way to balance it out. So if you need to degress and, exclude yourself, once you set a timer, like, all right, I need an hour to myself. Tell everybody that, hey, I need an hour to myself because it's getting too much, or I'm feeling overwhelmed right now. I just need 10 minutes. I just need 10 minutes outside. Let me come back and let me chill, Or if it's something you like to draw, drawing is a good coping skill, because you can do it, and I feel like you can never draw too much. Like nobody's gonna say, man, you're drawing too much, because I know some people draw during meetings, they draw during conversations, some people are good at multitasking. So I feel like drawing's a good one. Writing your thoughts down, maybe saying them later to yourself. I know a lot of people like to verbalize their thoughts and like to, really just have somebody listen to them. Venting can be a good coping skill, as long as it doesn't become toxic to the person you're venting to. I feel like, as long as you can really just keep it kind of direct to the issue, and not really increase that person's anxiety, then I feel like, you're on the right track, I know shit is stressful, and I know the big part of coping is you got to understand, when you're triggered, you got to understand when it's time to use those skills. I know I work in a few alternative schools, and I see kids' lids get flipped all day, their lids stay flipped, and it's like, man, and their coping skills might be something like, cussing people out, and that that might be something that they're used to, but then it's on the adults in their life, or this, or maybe their peers in their life, to kind of show them a different way, but even then it all depends on the person. If you were used to cussing 10 people out and you cuss 3 people out today, then that's progress, and I feel like as a social worker or any other staff, I feel like you gotta acknowledge that. You gotta acknowledge any kind of progress, even though it sucks to get cussed out. I've been cussed out more than I like to, and I'm sure in my young career I'm not done getting cussed out. But you always gotta kind of, show them that you recognize them. I recognize what's going on, maybe next time, blah blah blah. But yeah, I can sit here and name off a lot of coping skills, a lot of things that might help you cope, but the biggest thing is that you have to know when you have to let it go. You got to know when you're triggered, you got to know when it's too much, you got to know, you got to know when to use the skills, and you got to really, and hopefully the skills that you're using aren't anything that results to more stress, like anything that's going to result to you getting fired, or you causing harm in your relationship. Are you, are you causing harm to, harm to somebody else? I just hope that whatever your skill is good, and you can also, this is just a wild thought. You can Google coping skills, just type in coping skills in the Google search bar, and it'll have a billion gazillion skills for you to look up and say, oh man, shit, I like that. You know, I like playing ball. I like running. I like, you know, I like just talking to my coworker. You know, I like just calling my mom up and or my dad up and saying, what's up? Or, you know, here's what's going on. I need you to, you know, X, Y, Z. So, you know, if, yeah, because I'm not a person that really has a lot on top of my, you know, on top of my brain. But, you know, Google it. And I'm sure you could, you'll find more than enough, you know, to help you out. Yeah, so basically, I just know, like, this time of year is stressful. It's always stressful for me, kind of, because I got a big family and I got a lot of moving parts of my family. And, you know, I got stuff that I got to navigate. So just know what's going on. Know yourself. You know, don't be scared to tell. Don't be scared to take care of yourself. You know, don't be scared to tell somebody, I got to step outside for a little bit. Or, you know, right now, this is a little too much. I can't go. Like, or I can't go to that event because I can't deal with that. You know, because so I know sitting in the space you don't want to be in sometimes, that's worse than, you know, that's worse than telling somebody, I just don't want to go. You know, and I feel like a lot of times us being honest saves us a lot of time. But anyway, so this is my episode for this week. Like I say all the time, Hip Hop Social Worker is in partnership with C4, the Clinicians of Color. We are a group of clinicians of color that really wants to build a community here in Portland, Oregon. You know, go to C4PDX.com if you really want to check us out. We meet every month, you know, the beginning of the month usually. You know, I will let you guys know when the next meet is. I believe it's December 6th. I'll have more information later, but yeah, C4PDX.com. You know, you're my good friend, Andrea Rideau. She's the owner and founder of that. She was on this podcast earlier on my last season. So yeah, just check it out if you're a clinician of color, or if you're looking for a clinician of color, or you just want to learn how to really take care of yourself. Living in Portland, Oregon, and you know, it's just a pretty white space, so. Yeah, just check that out. I'm also hiphopsocialworker@gmail.com. I'm on Instagram, Hip Hop Social Worker Pod. I'm on Patreon, Hip Hop Social Worker. Also on Facebook, just type in Hip Hop Social Worker. You know, I know I'm probably going to, or on Twitter, Hip Hop Social Work or HH Social Work. I know I'm probably going to ruffle some feathers with the, with my second segment. But, you know, I feel like, hey, you know, everybody's thinking it. Everybody, you know, this is a different society now. Like, we can't live off $12 an hour no more. So, I mean, it's what I'm here for. You know, I'm not really, you know, I feel like there need more people telling social workers, you know, to really brand themselves and to get paid if they can, you know, like if you want to. You know, like I feel like we take too much pride on, you know, on doing stuff out of the kindness of our heart. And we do that. I'm not saying we don't do that, but I'm also saying that, you know, we don't have to take that if we don't want that, you know, and you shouldn't feel bad for, you know, for wanting more, you know, you just shouldn't, because nobody else is going to feel bad for wanting more. You know, there's nobody else who does those kind of things. So, you know, and if you got a problem with it, then, we can always discuss it. You know, I have no issue with, disagreeing, you know, or maybe even changing my mind, but I think I'm pretty good on that stance. So, holla at y'all later. Peace.
You just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.